谢。So in November, we're going to be having a party that I encourage everyone to attend. This Saturday also is an open house for the New Kids section, the activities and adults. And everyone will be here. You can ask questions about the new renovations and the new setup. So on to business. We're so happy to have local poet Robert Sword reading here tonight. I'm actually going to pass the show on to Dennis Morton, whom I'm sure you all know, from Poetry Santa Cruz. They are co-sponsoring this event, and we love them at Bookshop Santa Cruz. We're so happy that they use this space to do their events and have so many wonderful poets read for us. So please give a warm welcome to Dennis Morton. He's going to introduce us.
Howdy, everybody. Robert asked me, in plenty of time to write this, but of course I wrote it about an hour ago. So I think I'll just plain read it, Robert. You know, I prefer to pretend that I haven't written something, you know, but I did write this. I will tell you that it's easy enough to tell you that Robert Sword has at least 20 books under his belt, and that he's a teacher, and I can tell you where he's taught, but that won't make him any better known to you. You can find all of that on the back of any of his 20 books. So I'd rather tell you a few things about him that I've discovered in my 2 decades as a resident of Santa Cruz. And for one thing, I've learned that Robert is very conscientious. He never drops the bone. If he gets a hold of a project, his teeth are on it until the project is done. And this is a really, really wonderful turnout. So here is evidence of Robert's persistence and tenacity in a project. He learned in his early years in Santa Cruz that if you're going to survive as an artist in this town, you'll probably have to improvise. I mean, look around here, probably every other person is an artist. If you're going to survive in Santa Cruz, you've got to do something a little different. So I read about Robert long before I met him. It was a piece in the Good Times, or maybe it was the Sun. And if you've been around town for a while, you know that the Sun was kind of the predecessor to Metro Santa Cruz. And the piece didn't have much to do with poetry. It was about the only Jewish Santa Claus in town. And that, of course, was Robert. And it was just another gig. It was a small but a significant way to carve out a space for himself in a town where walking at the rate of a mile a year in a granny dress is just a very conservative way to get attention. So I don't remember how long it was after the article that I met Robert, but it was really an apt persona for him, this Santa Claus business, because anybody who knows Robert knows first and foremost that he's an extremely generous man. He has opened, he and Gloria have opened their home, their beautiful home, by the way, to so many poets. I stopped keeping track of it, but constantly Robert opens his home to visiting poets and has folks over. It's a very generous act. And he's fiercely loyal to his friends also. I didn't put that in here, but I just remembered that. He really is. There's a poem that I will always associate with Robert, and it's about a little girl named Anna. And she used to be the smallest person in the world. And it was a rite of passage for me as well as for Robert when I learned that Anna, his daughter, was married this year. Imagine that, the smallest person in the world just got married. And I also learned how small the world is one day while talking with Robert about a friend of mine, a Scottish novelist who had written a play called And They Used to Star in Movies. That play was, it featured Disney characters, and Minnie Mouse was a hooker, and Donald Duck was a pimp. And the Disney people got wind of this, and they sent a battalion of lawyers and suits to the Transatlantic Review and said, you will not publish this. Well, it was already out on the newsstands, and they forced the recall of every single issue of the Transatlantic Review. And it turns out that Robert had a poem in that issue of the Transatlantic Review. And Robert, you don't know this, But my friend, Campbell Black, has just resuscitated that play, and it's now playing to rave reviews in Dublin, Ireland. Which gets me to tonight's real introduction, and that is, at one play in Dublin deserves two plays in Santa Cruz, and that's what you're going to see tonight. And Robert has rigorously rehearsed a top flight crew of professional thespians. They're sitting mostly up here in the front row. I'll just mention them in a brief word about each of them. David Swanger is in the cast, and his new book of poems, Wayne's College of Beauty. Did you know that my daughter graduated from Wayne's College of Beauty? She did. Now, in 10 hours a week, she makes way more money than I make in years. Anyway, Wayne's College of Beauty, which is coming out soon, was awarded the John Chiardi Poetry Prize, and you'll be hearing a lot more about that soon. As a matter of fact, on December the 7th, Gary Young, who is right there, one of the finest poets, not just in Santa Cruz, but in the country, and Joe Stroud, another under-recognized, but one of the best poets in the United States, will be reading with David on December 7th at Capitola Book Cafe. It's going to be a great, great reading. Chuck Atkinson is, I forget what part you're playing in these gala productions, but...
The leading role.
The lead, Chuck Atkinson, is sitting only a few feet from me. And Chuck will have a new book of poems coming out soon with the venerable Hummingbird Press, the chief editor-in-chief over there, Len Anderson. And Dionne Farquhar has a slew of poems out recently in national magazines, literary magazines. And that leaves the final member of the cast is Doug McClellan, who is a painter and a poet and a political provocateur. And with that, I give you Robert Sword, who is a very generous man and an extremely funny poet.
There are a couple of chairs. There's one here, and there's one over there if anybody wants to. I reserved one for you, by the way. Can you hear me? It's up in the back. Can I read from here?
If you need to sit up.
Pardon? One more up here. Well, I want to thank Poetry Santa Cruz and
a little louder.
Okay. This isn't a mic. This is for a mic. This is
for the video.
For people to hear you, I think you're gonna have
I think I better do that. Yeah. Okay. We're experimenting. This is, I guess, better. When we do the play, the two plays, we're going to have to figure out whether they're going to be in front or behind
by the microphone.
Yeah. Alan, is this okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Set it on the desk if you want.
Is that right? Good.
I'm also standing up.
Standing up, honey. Yeah. We're at an angle here. It's not going to stand up.
Just hold it up.
Well,
okay. Alan, by the way, is an outstanding videographer. He's bridge here.
How's that, Alan?
That works for me. Alan, is that going to be okay?
That's good.
So, again, I want to thank Dennis and Len and all my friends with Poetry Santa Cruz and Bookshop Santa Cruz, and you guys, and Gloria. the editor, especially, absolutely. She's put up with a lot. So there'll be three parts to tonight's event, and it's going to be 45 minutes or so max, in case you're worried about the time. So part one, I'll be reading maybe 7 or 8 short poems from the Goddess in the Cracks, from the new book. And then because so many of the poems, can you hear in the back, is this okay? Yeah, because so many of the poems in the book are monologues and dialogues, I've adapted two sections, or combined a couple sections, and those would be plays that my kind friends, Chuck Atkinson, Doug McClellan, David Swanger, and Dionne Farquhar are going to join hands, parts, roles to enact them, and we'll see what happens with that. And these are all members of my poetry group, and I owe a lot to the poetry group, and we've been connected for some of us since 1991, and it also includes Tilly Shaw and Joan Zimmerman, and these guys I owe a huge debt to them for their feedback and what I've done. I've come to love these guys. I mean, I sincerely mean that. So God is in the Cracks. The title comes from a Leonard Cohen song called Anthem. And Cohen says, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And people ask where the title of the book comes from, God is in the Cracks. And my father would say, in order to understand that, you'd have to simply add the word to, T-O-O. God is in the cracks, too. There's this side, and then there's the other side. And then there's the cracks in between. So God is on this side, God is on the other side, God is in the cracks. This is not going to become a Christian revival meeting, I promise. I promise. God is in the cracks. And my dad was a podiatrist. And maybe that's all you need to know. And he's the speaker. Just a tiny crack separates this world from the next. And you step over it every day. God is in the cracks. Foot propped up, nurse hovering, phone ringing. Relax and breathe from your heels. Now that's breathing. So tell me, have you enrolled yet? Enrolled? In the Illinois College of Podiatry. Dad, I have a job. I teach. Well, I'm a man of lower extremities. Dad, I'm 43. So what? I'm 80. I knew you before you began wearing shoes. Too good for feet, he says. Ah, me, mine. That's all I get from your poetry. Your words lack feet. Forget the mind. Mind is all over the place. There's no support. You want me to be proud of you? Be a footman. Here, son, he says, handing me back my shoes. Try walking in these. Art supports. Now there's a subject. Someday you'll write about art supports. This, in fact, is called Art Supports, the fitting. Greets me in the waiting room, father, with waxed 5-eyelet shoes, son too, with spit-shine 5-eyelet shoes. This is how I was brought up. I do it to show respect. Value your feet. Okay, unlock those feet of yours. I'm sorry. Okay, unsock those feet of yours, he says. Let's see the felons. I unlace my floor shines, moist feet emerging from their cave of leather. Father holds up art supports, curved knife in hand. He shakes his head as he trims just so. Remind me, why do I need these things, I ask. Weak ankles and spine, he says. Poor posture, your feet are fine. Truth is, you should be more like your feet. Robust, healthy feet. Take a lesson from your feet, he says. Feet appreciate, custom made. No Dr. Scholes for these feet. slips in the inserts, arch support, like a shoe inside a shoe, leather inside leather. Every step I take, you're going to be there, I say. Every step, he says, every step of the way. One stop, foot shop. We walk with angels, and they are our feet. Vibrating energy packets, he calls them. Bundles of soul in a world of meat. Early warning system, dry skin and brittle nails, feelings of numbness and cold. These are symptoms. They mean something. I see things physicians miss. All you have to do is open your eyes. Just open your eyes and you'll see. 7/8 of everything is invisible. A spirit inside the spirit. The soul, S-O-U-L, the soul is rooted in the foot. As your friend Bly says, the soul longs to go down. Feet know the way to the other world, that world where people are awake. So do me a favor, dream me no dreams. A dreamer is someone who is asleep. You know, the material world is infinite, but boring infinite, he says, cigarette in hand, little wings fluttering at his ankles. And women, he says, smacking his head, four times as many foot problems as men. High heels are the culprit. I may be a podiatrist, but I know what I'm about. Feet. Feet don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't kiss ass. Truth is, people's feet are too good for them. You see, it's like, she's like the catcher on baseball. And I used to pitch, and so she gives me little signals about delivery. Life is its own afterlife. As I said, I'm going to read about 7 or 8 poems, half of which are when Dad was alive, and then the other half, I'm going into the second half now, this is when he's speaking from the other side. So life is its own afterlife. Again, the podiatrist, except this is, he once told me that I should spend more time in the university of the invisible. It's a poem, actually, in the book dealing with the university, the curriculum at the University of the Invisible. Life is its own afterlife. Enough already. Mourn. Mourn all you want. What good will it do? Truth is, I feel great, son. Never better. So what if I'm invisible? So what if I'm dead? You don't need a body to be a mensch, a man of substance. But with a body, at least, you've got some privacy. Without a body, you can't conceal anything. There's more, son, and bad news for you. This will surprise you. When you die, one of the first questions God asks is, did you marry? Turns out, after God created the world, the rest of the time he spent making marriages. So a couple, when they meet, it's for sure it was meant to be. That's how together they fulfill their destiny. But divorce, that they don't allow. So you won't be coming. But thank God for what you've got. What are you missing? Not much. There is no afterlife, not really. That's right, son. Life is its own afterlife. So you'll hear more about dog later. This is, you can see this Catalua leopard dog, courtesy of David Swanger. This is Kai. And when my mother died at 42, my father remarried. These poems are loosely autobiographical. Things take on a life of their own when you write about them. But this Catalua leopard dog came into my life when I was a teenager, age 15 or so, and
with the woman
that that he married, and we'll be enacting this beyond Farquhar and I in a few moments when we do a little read through. So this is called Dog Door to Heaven. So I've done a little bit of research on dogs, and this is the epigraph comes from a man called called Camara, and it's called Looking at the Zolo, X-O-L-O. And he says, as spirit guide, whose job it was to guide his master into the next life, and then to testify as to his master's goodness, dogs of intense devotion and loyalty were needed. As pets, they had been affectionately raised as loyal companions and as tools in the treatment of rheumatism. So a really loyal dog, if a dog really is your best friend, that dog will accompany you and testify on your behalf when you go through the gates on the other side. And so this is a statement by the dog, my father's dog. The dog here is the speaker, and he's in heaven, and he's kind of speaking to the son. The dog says, I can outthink, outwork, outfight any dog in that world or in this. Woof, fucking woof. I told you before, I'm here to look after your father. Relax, damn it. Besides, like the man said, death is an illusion. Bawa, bawa. Anyway, who else is going to lie against him? Draw rheumatism from his body. Leopard dog, that's who. Even now, he sleeps with his hands on me. Osteoarthritis that need healing. Yeah, even in heaven. Truth is, dogs are doctors too. Heaven, this other side, is one big hospital. And like I told you, it's filled with dogs. New Guinea singing dogs, Zolos, leopard dogs, dogs that listen to you and protect you. You think someone dies and God's going to make them whole again? God's not perfect either. Woof, woof. People say heaven is a place that cannot be found, but if you've got a dog, you can find it. And final poem in this little sequence. This is a man needs a place to stand. And my friend J.J. Webb on his website has an enactment of this poem, A Man Needs a Place to Stand. Just about 15 lines. The father says, snap out of it, son. Yes, of course I'm dead. But you think I've left the world? Then how come you're talking to me? Do? Ask yourself, how is this possible? Listen to me. There's more good news. That's right. Death doesn't separate you from God. This is a surprise. You were thinking there's something to fear? Anyway, wait till you die, son. You'll see. We never entirely leave the world. Ah, there's no there to leave. There's hardly a here. And you, Dundik, you just think you have a body. Still, you can't chase the invisible. Do that, and you'll end up everywhere. And then what? A man needs a place to stand. So that's part one. So this is a world premiere. It may go no further. It's called Kit Kat Club. The premise of this play, it's maybe 12-minute performance. We're just going to read through, of course. The premise is lust and loneliness win the day. And the characters here are Doc. I'll be reading that part. Doc is a podiatrist's father. He's at this point mid to late 40s, big horn-rimmed glasses, rumpled suit jacket, white shirt and tie, a Russian immigrant, a proud new American, and a professional man, a foot doctor. And he's a little drunk, irritable, gruff. Eddie, I'll also be playing that part, age about 15, braces on teeth, nearsighted, mouth breather, incoherent mumbler. His hormones are kicking in, and he's a little drunk, and it's past his bedtime. And Miss Delecta Delata, she's an exotic dancer, headliner, and Kit Kat Club's feature attraction. Confident, self-assured, playful, sexy, funny. And yes, it's about money, but she's also bright and catches something more than just the drift of what Doc is saying. he's a little less boring to her than most of her clients. So the scene here, as I say, my mother died at 42. This is very, very loosely based on, you know, my dad's in his early 40s. He's lost this woman he loves suddenly. She'd been runner-up for Miss Chicago. She was, you know, a nice lady, actually. So she dies, and dad goes through a bad year. Drinks. I mean, you know what people do when they go through a bad year. So he went through a bad year. So this is in the midst of the bad year. So the setting here is a neon sign reading Kit Kat Club. And the Kit Kat Club is a strip joint in Chicago's North Side. You got a podiatrist father with his gawky 15-year-old son, and they're seated at the bar. This scene is similar to Tony Soprano's Club. A pole dancer or two in the background, smoke-filled room with sweat, odor, you know, aftershave lotion and beer. And so the father begins. And so, as I say, this is adapted from the book. I guess we should share the mic.
Okay.
Father says, "That one, the blonde, if she asks," I need to say this. Some of this stuff is graphic. Several people have mentioned that is graphic. You've been warned.
The minors have left.
The minors have left, okay. Father says, "That one, the blonde, if she asks, buy her a drink. Here's your scotch. We're here to enjoy. Be happy, son. Enough mourning. You're 15. At 13, even a boy becomes a man. God damn it, it's not every man gets to, I'm sorry, God damn it, it's not every son gets to drink with his father. So sit straight. Think. Two men alone. A year now, she's dead. What are we? Rabbi says, a pinch of air in a wooden box. You, me, your mother, tonight you're going to see. You're here to learn some. You know what it is? Life, a terminal condition. Jesus. There she is now dancing, Miss Gina Lynn. God damn it, for your own good I brought you, so stop fidgeting. Here, have a cigarette. And Miss Galetta Bellata, the blonde. Oi, such a tuckus. Look at her now. And she's got her hooses on the table. The men line up. Oi, and for what do you think? Show's beginning. For a kiss, that's right. $20 to put your tongue God knows where. Dad, what? God damn it, what do you think they're doing? Randy, fill them up. Oi, what fathers won't do for their sons. Scene two. A few minutes later, father and son, each with a cigarette, reach for drink, scotch and soda with lots of ice. Eddie's flushed, embarrassed. He's trying to be a man. Father, wearing a suit jacket, loosens his tie, licks his lips. He's a professional man, a podiatrist, a real American, though born in his shtetl. So, now you know, this is America. This is what people do. In Poltava, in shtetl, you think they potchki with a puppet? Now what? Listen, she's asking for something. A light? Ah, look at that, a cigarette fell out of smoking. And now what? Now what's smoking? Fat. Who told you to look? Women are crazy. Men are stupid. Dad. Eddie, we're here tonight so you can see. Verstehst? With your own eyes now. What do you see? A beautiful woman. Oi, high heels she wears, painted toenails, pink ankle chain, and such a smile. And look at those eyes. Dad, listen. She's finished. Talk to her. Go now. Young lady, Miss Delata say, the doctor wants to buy you a drink. Tell her before she leaves. Then scene three, father and son seated in a private booth, Delecta Delata approaches and leans over the table.
So, is that it, gentlemen? A private booth? A bottle of champagne? Just remember, no touching, unless I say so. Hands at your side, tongue in your mouth. What I do on stage, I do on stage. Off stage, we give it a rest. Here, talk is what we do. Yeah, that's right. I'm a big girl, like my friend, Gypsy Rose Lee. You know Gypsy?
Dad,
What's that, Sonny? You want a touch? Hey, Randy, a magnum of champagne. $50, fellas. Pop, I hear you're a doctor. Oh, really? A podiatrist? Well, fella, I'm an ecdysiast. A stripper, ecdysis, it's a snake word. It means to shed your skin. Fucking snakes. I hate them.
Come on, Dad.
Kid, I got something for you. Here, give me your hand. It's okay, huh? You like that. Now pay attention. Can I call you Eddie? Eddie, there's a person behind what you see. That's it. A person inside a person. Sound familiar, Doc? Enough already. Admit it. Your kid knows, don't you, Sonny? Your old man's here all the time. We're naked in heaven, but clothed on earth, whatever that means. A dancer in two worlds, he says. Sure, sure. You know, some guys, it's like they're blind. They won't look. Just being in a room with naked girls, I guess, that's enough. Others get hooked on a certain girl, a pole dancer, say, and their eyes roll up. Tell me, Eddie, do men have souls? Some, I know. They trade soul for pussy. Your dad says, loneliness is the maker of the soul. Bullshit, I say. No soul, no S-O-U-L, without pussy. P-U-S-S-Y. Men will do anything to get it. Not once they've got it, but to get it. So the power of pussy is golden. But once they got it, forget it. Am I right? Randy, cognac's all around. Goes good with champagne. Okay, Doc? Hey, boys, you know this song? Yes. I'm the money girl, the honey girl. Down is up and up is down, and darkness is my candle. You like that, fellas? That's right. Now we're getting somewhere, okay?
Background music, ragtime, honky-tonk piano, drums at the bar, exotic dancers appearing detached yet queasy. The night wears on. Eddie's more out of place than other. Father philosophizing. Frustrated, hot, providing birds and bees instruction. Son, like a wobbly fighter in his corner, receiving last-minute advice from his trainer. Eddie, the place smells. It's scary, Dad. And those guys at the bar? Boy, now where'd she go? Quick, listen. She'll be right back. I'll leave, and then what? You need to know Shekinah, God's dwelling place, it means. God has no home without her. Star of David tells the story. Man at the bottom, woman in the top. This is what it means. Quick, quick, she's coming. The upward triangle of the Star of David is a penis penetrating the downward triangle of the vulva. Shekinah, God's dwelling place. Talmud says, it means no female, no soul. So, when the stuffing stops, the world ends. Eddie. They know you here. They know me. You come here all the time, don't you, Dad? Shut up. Listen to me. Listen, she's teasing. Look at her, Eddie. She's singing again.
Tall men, short men, fat men, thin. They kiss with theirs, and I kiss with mine. Down is up, and up is down, and darkness is my candle. Drink up. Time to order another. Scotch, Randy. Scotch all around. The female soul of God, what's he talking about now? This is a spread club, a spread club. And he comes here and talks about soul. You're not the first, Doc, or am I just lucky? Brainy guys, they don't know if they want a lap dance or a head massage. The female soul of God, I'll show you the female soul of God. You know what Gypsy said, don't you? God is love, but get it in writing. A dollar bill, now that gets it in writing. All right, suppose God has what you say, a female soul. Then she feels something, like Gypsy and me. God has feelings too. What? Yeah, I'm a convent girl. Our Lady of the Vagina, and my little dance, my shtick, look. If you don't have a gimmick, you're not going to be a star. So, Dunk, you want a word with the female soul? The front door to life? Okay, guys, I'll show you. But, Doc, maybe you should leave. I'll look after the kid. He's legal, isn't he? How about another Scotch kid? Want to sing with me? You know the words. 1, 2, 3. You're looking good to me. What do you say, Eddie? Want to take the wheel? Give it a whirl? 4, 5, 6. Last chance. Yep, here we go, baby. That's it. I want to kiss your lips. Come to mama. Come to mama.
Sound okay? So, my dear friends, David Swanger, Chuck Atkinson, Doug McClellan, and DeYoung are going to join us for the final segments of the adaptation from the book. And this is a sequence called Lenore and the Leopard Dog, a little mini play. And here the father, Doc, is a podiatrist father, ambulatory widower, recovering from heart attack, mid to late 40s, big horn-rimmed glasses and blue silk bathrobe, black socks, slippers. Dion's going to play the part of Lenore, who is a cocktail hostess, 40-ish, glamorous, silvery blonde hair, halfway down her back, stately, curvaceous, apple bosom, speaks with a Eastern European accent. Chuck, the star of this little segment, is a leopard dog, a little picture like a leopard dog looks like. He's got some really wonderful lines. And the leopard dog is at least about between 90 and 100 pounds. It's a very difficult animal to control. They're very intelligent, they're very willful, they're agile, and very territorial. And this is Lenore's creature. And this is played by an actor with a deep voice. And the dog has a sexual perversion, I'm afraid. He's a voyeur. So. And then Eddie, the doc's son, again, early teens, 15, acne, dazed, overwhelmed, and by turns, incoherent mumbler still, an evidence-gathering spy, a rebel in the making. And so if my friends will join us, we could either do it. It's the choice. We prefer to do it, you know, in front. And we'll see if you can hear us. And if not, then we'll have to take turns with the mic. Oh, yeah. So the scene is hallway area, kitchen of a Chicago apartment, late 1940s, with one working television set stacked atop a non-working black and white television set. The doorbell rings, and the father, who's ambulatory, recovering from a heart attack, hastens to answer the door. The man is mid-40s.
We were in the neighborhood. We were in the neighborhood. I thought we'd drop by. Down, bud, down. Here, sit. Look, doctor, cheesecake from British, see? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better.
Nose flares, mouth open, licks lips. It's yum-yum time.
You better be better.
Lenore shakes off and runs fingers through her hair. Father glances at Lenore's bosom. Look. Leopard dog, noticing the father's apparent attraction, remarks,
look, already he's ready.
The dog speaks.
Like it or not, Sonny, we're here to stay.
The dog, meanwhile, is racing from room to room. They have one brown eye and one blue eye. And the dog is sizing up the house. He's about to take over.
Go away, asshole.
Oh, why? Hello there, Sonny. Would you like some cheesecake?
Nah. Eddie, this is Lenore. Say hello. She has two young children, two boys of her own.
Shelley and Ellen. Shelley's just your age, Sonny. And that That Michonne's a Catalula leopard dog. See the spots? Very rare and smart. He understands everything. Don't you, Glenn? Good boy. Good dog. Here, here, cheesecake.
The leopard dog is pure dog. He's altogether doggy dog.
100%. A handsome wife develops the mind of man.
No, no. Please, Dad, I don't want her. I don't want another mother.
God damn it! I've told you, it is not good for a man to be alone, and you need a mother.
Leopard dog, wagging tail, confident, enthusiastic, canine intuition tells him he's home.
What?
We're moving in, understand?
The dog springs across the room and switches on I Love Lucy. Well, you know, set the table.
Oh, Lep, what a dog. He loves television. Didn't I tell you? Doc, that Ricky Ricardo. Look at those eyes.
Shh.
Lenore, stage whispering in father's ear.
You told me yourself. God is right here in the pleasure. Oh, you're good, Doctor. You're good.
Well, scene two, later that night, Leopard Dog and Eddie listen at the bedroom door. The door is slightly ajar. Eddie peeks first, and Leopard Dog, growling, squeezes in front of him.
Your breasts are like twins, young roses that feed among the lilies.
What the hell? Are you talking
about? Here come the birds and the bees.
It's in the Bible, Song of Songs. A woman's breasts are the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of God's law, one for what God allows and one for what he doesn't.
Talk some sense. You're a doctor.
Father is kneeling by the bed pouring a little wine.
What about kissing?
Kissing is praying too. Look, I bow my head, same as when I pray. Didn't I tell you? God rewards you for kissing.
What?
The way we made love is the way God will be with us. With a mouth alone, it is possible, Rabbi said.
Leopard dog wagging enthusiastic. Whoop, whoop, whoop!
Stupid dog. What do you know?
Leopard dog, eyeball to eyeball with Eddie.
I know yes and no and bow wow. Good dog, bad dog. I know play and stay. Lick I know. And sniff I know. What do you know?
Who's that?
That's just Leopard. He knows we're in here. He's lonely. Darling, would you mind? He likes to watch.
What?
You know what I'm saying? He's just a dog.
Leopard dog on his haunches, peering through keyhole.
Hey, move over, dog. Scram.
Leopard dog snapping at
Eddie. Look out, I eat little boys for breakfast.
Sure you do, pervert. Why don't you get yourself a bitch?
The socks come off and the feet talk.
Your father's all muscle. Who would have thought? Lenore likes that.
They're a match. That's your new mother.
The way to heaven is not up, but down. Love, marriage, intercourse, what are they, darling? A tangling of toes, right? So how does this feel, Lenore? Good? And this?
Oh, doctor, doctor, you know I like professional men. Full of surprises, crazy talk, silly exams, touching, nice pajamas.
Here they go, Sunny.
The holiness derives from the feeling of pleasure. No pleasure, no holiness.
Ooh, wiki wiki. That's how you were made, little boy. No wiki wiki. Oh, little boy.
Move, darling. You need to move.
Look at that. It's heels over bedposts. It's wiki wiki, love. Not you.
Father Lenore moaning. Then at last, father sits on the side of the bed, shaking, whinnying loudly like a horse. Lenore, arms around father, does the same.
So look at us. We're invisible. That's what we are.
Invisible?
Invisible, yes. No boundary between exterior and interior. Tell me, darling, where do I leave off and you begin? Inside you is inside me. Outside you is outside me. We're both the same. So new, who sees what? Who sees us? We're invisible.
Oi, oi. Luftmensch, head in the clouds. You missed this, doctor, and you missed that. Invisible? I'll show you invisible.
Leopard dog, whacking Sonny with his tail.
What? You still don't get it? Lenore's your mummy. Little boy, Wiki Wiki is your father. You had one mother, now you have another.
Lenore, hands on his shoulders, she sits on father, moves up and down. I warned you, you grab.
Yes. Now you see it? Now you know.
Bad Lenore. That's not dog.
There's a man and a woman and a third thing too, in us, says the poet. That's the eye and the heart that sees into the invisible, the goal. Poet says, is to see with the eye of the heart, so like, so sees like us.
So like sees like.
So like sees like. Oh, there it is. Like sees like. Thank you.
What poet?
The poet, goddammit, the poet.
Oh, shut up and shtup.
Oh, God. Marry me.
We weren't going to do this, but in the interest of time, but maybe just, you know, if there is any, maybe carry on the conversation and reasonable.
Okay, yeah. Can I invite everyone to the house, or is that too much? Okay, all right, we'll just leave it the way it is. Yeah.
Can you read something from the wedding one, wedding two?
Yeah.
Not the wedding
involved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
read
it.
Maybe not all
your
favorites.
Wedding two?
Yeah. Wedding.
Short
wedding. Short wedding. Short wedding.
Page 71, wedding to Temple parking lot. Father removing glasses. So, my son is getting married. For the second time, Dad. Yes, but weddings heal. Our Talmud says a wedding frees bride and groom from all past transgression. A wedding fixes all that's broken. You mean one marriage can fix another? He grabs my arm. A happy marriage gives eternal dispensation. His eyes gather light. The Talmud says intercourse is 1/60th the pleasure of paradise. I'm wearing 5 eye the floor shines with new art supports. This is good, he waves to friends. Just don't fumble the goblet. The goblet you break after the vows. This time use your heel. Smash it on the first try. People will be watching, miss it in the whack, like last time. Three short sections. Well, this is section two called Temple Steps. Leads with his chin. Visible and invisible. Chin trembling, his face shining. I was an orphan. Yes, I know, Dad. Did you know an orphan's dead parents are able to attend the wedding? But Dad, I'm not an orphan. No, I just want you to know, if you were, we'd come in. You know, your grandparents would be there too. How would they manage that? What are you asking? They'll manage. These are your grandparents. Grandpa Hyman, Grandmother Bessie. It's a tradition. Our Talmud says if they have their bodies, they'll come with their bodies. But they're dead. So they'll come with us. And then the final section, 3, temple washroom. When a man unites with his wife, God is between them. I'm telling you, lovemaking is ceremony. The Talmud says, you're not holy, but your wife is. With her, you go to a world outside the world. So wash your hands before, not after. Wash for the pure and holy bride. But what about hygiene? How did I bring you up? Shame on you. The socks come off and you make love. The Talmud says, and you make her happy. Stop. You understand? Forget hygiene. This is the pure and holy bride. Stop there, and maybe a question or two, if anybody wants to. The tradition. Jim, with Poetry Santa Cruz readings. Mort Marcus. I compliment you. Maybe we can take it to New York. They did it theater in New York.
Especially the dog.
He does a pretty good Mason.
Jackie
Mason, yeah.
Is there a glossary for us Gentiles?
Well, I have a little, actually, at the back of the book, I do have a few notes. Yeah, so a little page or two that says notes. And I'm going to tell you, when I look through my own notes, I'm going to just have to wrap up, you know, for the evening, but I just want to share this with you. I quote this from Rumi and from Rilke at certain points in the book. And I've been puzzling with this, you know, for the last couple of years. This is something Rilke writes. It's, you know, for me, it begins to answer the question, why are we here? You know, why are we here? Rilke writes, it is our task to imprint this temporary, perishable earth into ourselves so deeply, so painfully, and passionately that its essence can rise again invisibly inside us. We are the bees of the invisible, you and I. We are the bees of the invisible. We wildly collect the honey of the visible, to store it in the great golden hive of the invisible. The elegy shows us at this work, the work of the continual conversion of the beloved visible and tangible world into the invisible vibrations and agitations of our own nature. What I get from that is, seize the day, suck the juice out of life. You'll be held accountable for everything you did not pay attention to. And again, it's a privilege. I mean, I love San Francisco. I mean, this city has just been here since 1985, and you guys have done everything for me. And I see dear old friends. Including, I'm honored that the playwright, Claire Braz Valentine, is here, for instance. So, I should aspire to become even, you know, well. If God is in the cracks, and where we are right now, he's here, and on the other side he's there, and he's there in the cracks in between, and Santa Cruz for me is this beautiful place, beautiful, beautiful place that has a few cracks, but even in those cracks, in this place, there's some wonderful little essence vibrating. We need the cracks, we need the darkness for the light to shine through. And it's, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Relinquish a chair for Robert. We can have a little signing right up front. I'm sure he'd be happy to talk with you. I also want to remind everyone we have a fabulous series set up for October. Barbara Boxer will be here. Amy Sedaris will be here. Apparently she's bringing brownies. Thank you all so much for coming.